Amen. Amen. Who has ever read a psalm in the Bible? It's probably one of the go-to parts of the Bible. If you sort of think, oh, I haven't had a reading for a while and I haven't sort of, you know, oh, I'll read a psalm. Or sometimes it might be the Proverbs. For me, I like both of those books in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes we struggle with some of the other parts in the Old Testament. We get to the Psalms, and it's just awesome. And probably most of us have a favorite psalm. Who's got a favorite psalm? Who's got Psalm 23? Some of us have. We might look at that at later on in our series. We'll see how we go. Well, Psalm 139, you know, we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. That's another one, isn't it? And Psalm 91, I've been planted in the courts of, in the house of God, and I'm going to flourish there. And there's lots of them. That there actually are 150 psalms in the Bible, and psalms are actually poems that have been put to music. Most and they often say it's the poems of the harp that they used to sing. You know, have instruments and music and sing these poems. And this is really like the creative part of the Bible. Who here is a little bit creative? Nobody? I don't know if I am really, but I like to think I am sometimes. Who'd like to think they're creative? Yeah, I think we'll all enjoy the Psalms. There's always a little bit of creativity in all of us because we made the image of God and God created everything and he loves us to be creative and pour out our hearts. And King David wrote approximately half of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them. And it's not exactly known exactly who wrote some of them. It's a bit unsure. But the Psalms are often referred to as the Psalms of David because he wrote the majority, the biggest portion of them. And as well as David, there were some other writers. Two of them were actually written by Solomon, David's son. Quite a few of them were written by the Levites, the worship leaders in their day, the people like Asaph and the sons of Korah. Their responsibility was to lead the worship. And they'd write these poems and songs, and they'd lead the people in them. So they were like the worship leaders in their day. Psalm 90 apparently was actually written by Moses. And so that was written a long, long, long time before David even was born and came on the scene. So the Psalms were written over a long period of time. So there's all sorts of authors. There's quite a few of them that we don't know, actually, they're anonymous. We don't know who wrote them. Probably about 40 to 50 of the Psalms. We're not quite sure who actually wrote them. Psalms were like worship songs in their day. They were written by people who were really pouring out their heart to God. And most of the Bible is like God speaking to us. In the Psalms, it's more like a response from God's people to him. So it's almost like the other way around. And some of the Psalms are praise, others are worship. There's only a subtle difference between praise and worship. You know, there's worshiping God and praising him. Some of the Psalms are prayers, cries for help, agony, going through things. Some are prophetic. There's some of the Psalms that were actually prophesying, you know, in song and poem, things that hadn't happened yet. Isn't that cool to think that so many different things? Some of the Psalms just reflect absolute thankfulness for the journey that God's people have been on, and it recites the different things through history that God's people have been on, and a real heart of thanks for all that. Some of the Psalms are like statements of faith. There's theology in the Psalms, and there's so much. And actually, we don't know for sure, but there were probably hundreds and hundreds of these psalms written, possibly thousands of them, and through the history of God's people. And but much like our hymns and worship songs today, some were for a season, and others are sort of timeless. Have we got any hymns or songs or that are sort of timeless? How great thou art, amazing grace. I mean, we, you know, for generations we sing some of those songs. Some of the ones we're singing now, maybe for a season. Some of them we might be singing in heaven. Timeless. You know, we just don't know. And the people that wrote these psalms, they weren't thinking of being famous or having a psalm recorded in the Bible and God's word. They were just pouring out their heart to God. And I think many of them would be actually really surprised that their psalms are here. Oh, that was just a worship. That was just a time when I was going through something and I recorded it. I wrote a poem about it. It was put to music and some of the guys sang it. And hello, it's in the Word of God. Isn't that incredible to think about that? And I think we need to understand that if it's recorded in the Bible, it's a part of God's word to us. Even though it was from the heart of a man and crying out sometimes in frustration, they've been preserved for a reason, and they're there for all time and for all of us as well. And one other interesting thing is that, you know, just so that we really understand that they are an integral part of God's word, of all the Old Testament quotes recorded in the New Testament, you know, often the New Testament writers would, and Jesus himself would quote from the Old Testament. And the most quoted from book in the Old Testament is the book of Psalms in the New Testament. You know, they kept referring back to these Psalms. So it's we need to realize that the Psalms are really tied into the Word of God. Even though they're not history, they're not God necessarily speaking directly in some cases. They're, you know, just man pouring out his frustrations and his heart. But they're really tied into that whole book of God, the Word of God. So, interesting. You guys interested? I've been learning a little bit anyway. Today we're going to look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is the introduction to the Psalms. It's a good place to start, isn't it, Andy? We've got to start at the beginning. Just got to get that sorted. And Psalm 1 starts with the words, "Blessed is the man." Blessed is the man. We put that up on the screen. Thanks, Danny. If you could stop distracting Steph, we'll get that one up on the screen. There you go. Good man. Okay. Right, we've got it. Cool. Blessed is, that's how the book of Psalms starts. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Then the psalm, we'll leave that up for a bit. Then the psalm goes on to describe the ideal godly man or woman. And it's like the ultimate picture of what we should be like and how God will relate to us. And it's sort of, It's how things should be. And it's like good people get blessed, bad people get punished. You're struggling with that, James? That's all right. Because many of the Psalms that come after Psalm 1 actually show that the people are struggling with this concept. Where see, Psalm 1 is sort of like the outline of everything that is in the Psalms. It's an outline of the ideal picture of how we should be as God's people and God's response to us. But the reality is that life is not always just like a textbook, like the ideal, is it? You know, sometimes we have struggles in life and in faith. Let's be honest. Who's had some struggles? We've all had some struggles. It's not like you just do this and do that and everything's perfect. You know, it's not like you come to Jesus and miraculously all your problems are solved and your bank account's full of money and everything's easy. It's not like that, is it? It's actually, sometimes it's the opposite. And the frustration and confusion that people can have, Christians, God's people can have when things don't always turn out exactly as we expect them to, like Psalm 1 outlines. However, as we go through the Psalms, it's like these struggles that people go through. And then the last words of Psalm 51, Psalm 150, sorry, I wrote that down wrong in my notes. The last words of Psalm 150, we start with Psalm 1, which says, "Blessed is the man," And the last words in the Psalm 150 is praise the Lord. It's almost like, even if we can't figure it out all the time, the end result of the Psalms is, hey, we need to actually just, sometimes we just need to let go and trust God and praise Him anyway. Even if life isn't perfect and things don't work out exactly as we think they should do. Everything, this is what the last verse of Psalm 150 says, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So that's a quick overview of the Psalms, and there's a lot of stuff in between, and we'll look at some of that as we go through. But let's read Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. This is the outline of the ideal. Let's read it. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It's a pretty perfect picture of God's people, isn't it? He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Isn't that cool to think about that? Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. You all know what chaff is? When they're threshing the wheat, they want they chop it all up and grind it all up, and then they flick it up in the air, and the chaff is just the rubbishy bits that blows away, and the wheat is the heavy stuff that falls down, and that's what they're wanting to keep. So that's how they're winnowing and sorting and so on. So that the chaff is just the rubbish that blows away. And therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. There's going to be a separation. That's what Psalm 1 talks about. God's people are going to be blessed, and the wicked are not. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. If we go right back to verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who what? Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. I want you guys to notice there's a little bit of a progression happening through there. We start off walking, and then it's standing, and then, hello, we're sitting. So, and often through the Psalms, remember these are poems, it's sort of like steps and a staircase. And you sort of, one thing leads to the next, to the next. It's sort of often through the Psalms, things are repeated for emphasis. And you start off listening to the advice of unbelievers. How many of us have done that? You know, it might be some person that's been really successful in the financial world or something, or someone who thinks, you know, politicians or something. We listen to them. We start to, but they're not necessarily godly. And then you start doing what they suggest. You know, you start walking along and listening, and then you stop to stand and start to do what they suggest. And then, hello, before long, eventually, it's like you become one of them, and you're sitting with them, and you're in the in crowd. See the progression? Sort of walking, standing, sitting, and you're becoming one of them. And Proverbs 14, verse 12 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There's a warning there. So if we want to be blessed, who wants to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I think we all do. There's some things that we shouldn't do. And an interesting thing is, according to Psalm 1, anyone actually can be blessed. Right? Anyone can be blessed. Because, you know, sometimes we think we have to be born into the right family to be blessed. Sometimes we think we have to have the right education. You know, if I've got a master's or a PhD in something, I'm going to be blessed. Sometimes we might think, hey, you know, if I'm in the right business, you know, sometimes we can think, well, this is never going to succeed because it's the wrong sort of business to be in. And sometimes we think we've got to be in the right business and the right place at the right time and the right family, and we've got to have all the financial support. And if we're royalty or something, we're going to be blessed. And if we're not, we're going to struggle. You know, we can have all these concepts in our head, can't we, of how you're going to be blessed. But God's word, right in the beginning of Psalms, actually says that any single one of us can be blessed. We don't have to be born into a particular family or live in a particular place or have your business or your work going in a particular direction, because God's word tells us that any one of us can be blessed. And if you want to be that man or woman who is blessed, there are some things that you must not do, that you will not do. There is a way that we should not walk. There are places that we should not linger. And there's a seat that we should not sit in. There's a table that we shouldn't sit around if we want to be blessed. That's what God's word says. So forget about worrying about, you know, doing this and that and the other. And it's not about who you know and having the right business connections or whatever. It's just choosing what you do and where you go and who you are seated with. Matthew 7 verse 13 tells us, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go through it." Now, Jesus talked about the fact there's a narrow way, and it's not the way that everybody thinks is the right way. And so as God's people, we need to be, there's some things that we need to just leave alone and not go there. You know, it's easy to sit around the table and have lots of opinions, isn't it? Have you ever been around a table where there's been lots of opinions? I think I have, and sometimes those opinions have been mine, and I realize that actually they haven't been very helpful always. And sometimes we can even make jokes at other people's expense, can't we? That's what this is talking about. You know, sitting in the seat of mockers. We just sit there, you're sitting around with your mates, and you're laughing about this, and you've got an opinion about the other, and you're putting someone down, and I mean, that you could just get on a roll, can't you? And God's word says, well, don't even sit there. Don't even go there. You know, it's so easy to criticize. It's easy to find fault. It's easy to tear down. It's not so easy to get out there and actually do something constructive, is it? Or at least support those that are trying. You know, there's a huge difference. And I think what Psalm 1 is talking about here, it's actually real. It's really important. It's a real issue of the heart. And I think it's talking about a whole different spirit that God wants his people to live like and be like. And it's a positive, encouraging spirit that God wants us to have. It's an uplifting one, you know, rather than a negative, critical spirit. Who wants to be around people that are negative and critical, finding fault and bad-mouthing someone, mocking that one, and da-da-da, you know? I mean, that's what Psalm 1 is talking about. If you want to be blessed, don't go down that path. Instead, have an opposite spirit. We're uplifting and encouraging, and, you know, let's see the best in people and being on the team when you can and helping to do something constructive with your life instead of being destructive. It's about lifting up rather than pulling down. So that's stage one of being blessed. And it's true, isn't it? Sometimes people can have all the opportunities in life, but they don't see them. They have a negative, oh no, it might not work. I don't think I'll risk it. I don't think I'll try it. And they don't. Other people that don't have half the opportunities will say, hey, I think there's something we could try here. I think with God's blessing on this, we could make this fly. You know, it's just all about that outlook on life. That's what separates someone who's blessed and someone who's not. It's simple, isn't it? Psalm 1 tells us. Let's get that Let's get that for a start. And then, so it's about lifting up rather than pulling down. That's stage one. And part two comes in verse two. And this is what the psalmist, we're not even sure who wrote this psalm, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Who likes reading books on law? I mean, any lawyers here? Who delights in studying law and meditating on it, you know, day and night? I have to be honest and say, I don't really think that's me. It might be. But actually, I think we need to understand that what the psalmist is talking about here is not just limited to one part of the Bible, which might be Leviticus or something, which where all the law is. It's actually talking about something much bigger than that. And that's, sure, that's a relief, isn't it? When the Bible refers to the law of the Lord, it means the written word. Up until this time, it was quite a small part of what we now call our Bible. For us, the law of the Lord is the whole Bible. So we've got something a lot more exciting than just a couple of chapters about the legal situation. But in some ways, I think the Jews did get quite excited about the fact that even though when you think about the law and the Ten Commandments, it's thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do the other. In some ways, I think they realized that, hey, God had set them apart from everybody else. So even in the law, there is a sense that, hey, you can be stoked that God cares enough. It's like parenting. You know, our parents care enough to guide us through life and say no to some things and yes to others. So actually, there's a safety and a security in that. So the psalmist who wrote that, even though we've got a much bigger, broader perspective of what God's word is now, they were still absolutely stoked that God cared enough to put some boundaries around their life. Isn't that cool? But we've got so much more, because for us, the whole Bible, which includes the Old Testament, which is the one or two books on the law, the prophets and the history, and the Psalms and the Proverbs, and the whole of the New Testament as well, is what Psalm 1 is referring to when we read it now. But even more than that, John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So what does that mean? It means that Jesus is the Word made flesh, and Jesus, and when you're talking about the law and the Word of God, Jesus is included in that, because he is actually the Word made flesh, brought alive. You know, God didn't just leave us with a written word and a written law. He actually brought it to life in a person, so that we can actually see what it should look like. So we're in such a blessed position. You see, when the Jewish people read Psalm 1, they thought, hey, this is awesome, but we can't do it because it's too hard for us. It was just too high a standard, and they couldn't possibly attain it. But now, by the grace of God, we've actually got Jesus, and I think Psalm 1 is far more relevant for us today than it was for them back when it was written, because we've got so much more of God's word. It's come alive to us in the person of Jesus. But that's not all. It's not so hard to meditate on the word of God when you realize that it represents Jesus and God's grace and his forgiveness. And actually, we enjoy reading the New Testament and all about Jesus and so on much more than some of the older stuff sometimes. But that's not the end of it. Hebrews 10 verse 16, which is actually a quote from Jeremiah 31, tells us, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord." And he's talking after Jesus has come. "I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." What's this talking about? This is talking about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? See, we not only have the written word, and then we have Jesus, who is like a picture of the written word, the word made flesh come alive for us to have salvation and our sins forgiven and a whole new life. But we also have the Holy Spirit, which actually the law of God and the words of God are actually like written in our heart and our spirit. We know, don't we? We know when we read God's word and we can relate to it that, yeah, this is right, this is the, and that's wrong. And so God is so good to us. Like I said before, Psalm 1 actually set a standard that the people back then could not attain to. It was like, this is the way to be blessed, guys. And they'll say, yeah, 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 but then they couldn't do it. And then what we read it, and we say, that, and we realize this is the way to be blessed, and we say, yeah, well, that's actually a big challenge. But by the grace of God, and having the Spirit of God in us, and the written word as well, actually, we've got a pretty good chance of making this work, haven't we? Can you see? The Psalms were written for us, more than it was written for them back there, because it's the Word of God and it's alive. And we got that fuller revelation. Verse 3 tells us, that's in Psalm 1, this is us. This is the blessed man who, you know, who's careful who he hangs out with, doesn't go walking and standing and sitting with the mockers and getting down the negative track, you know, but instead focuses on the positive, on the Word of God and on Jesus and who he is and having the Holy Spirit. So this is us, right? And this is what it says. We can now become like that tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever we do prospers. Isn't that cool? We can actually do this, guys. That's what God's word says. That, you know, but I think we just need to remember. I mean, yesterday we were planting trees at Tiuku, and they were about this big. You know, not much fruit on those trees, well, not fruit trees, but not even much flower or much height or strength in them, because they're just tiny. It takes time for a tree to grow, doesn't it? And there's a season for fruitfulness. You know, sometimes when in the middle of winter, you can be looking for peaches or something, you won't find them, because it's not the season. I mean, we all know that. And it's the same as what Psalm 1 is saying here. It's not an instant thing. It doesn't mean it's just that you make some good choices and you stop hanging out with the negatives and you start focusing in on the positives of God's word and you start feeding on that and have Jesus in your life and you're filled with the Spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean that instantly everything's going to go awesome. But it does mean that the tree is planted and it does mean that the tree is growing. And it does mean that the fruit is coming, doesn't it? Isn't that cool? There's fruit coming in each and every one of our lives. Far more fruit than we can ever imagine. Far bigger tree than we could ever hope would ever grow out of our lives. That's the power of God. It's the Word of God to us. That's the Psalm to us today. Hey, let's start thinking a bit longer term, a bit more positively. And lifting up our heads and lifting up our eyes and realizing how much God loves us, how much he wants for us to prosper, to be blessed. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about your family. Don't worry about if you've made bad mistakes, because God will give us a fresh start. We just need to get started. We need to get planted. We need to be in good soil and we need to hang out with good people. We need to keep feeding on the Word of God and it will just happen. Fruit doesn't struggle to grow. It just happens naturally. That's what the Psalm's talking about. In time, the blessing of God will come for each and every one of us if we faithfully keep doing what Psalm 1 tells us. And in verse 6, the very first part of that, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. God's watching. He's watching over us. And sometimes when we might get a little bit off track here or there, like what Brendan was talking, wasn't that a great series? These guys have just brought us through. But you know, I remember Brendan talking about, hey, you know, the Holy Spirit and how sometimes he stops us and sometimes he prompts us and sometimes he prods us, and we just know we need to change direction. Is God watching over us? Because he wants the best for us. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 tells us that it is because of him, it's because of God, our Heavenly Father, that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. And in verse 31, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boasts about the Lord, boast in the Lord. You know, we've got nothing, it's not us, it's just the grace of God. It's Jesus. What he's done for us that actually makes the way for us to prosper and to be blessed and to be healed and to be whole and to be free and to just experience all the goodness of God that Psalm 1 talks about. So that's the introduction to the Psalms. And so I hope you guys will be inspired to... hope you guys will be inspired to read a few more Psalms. And we might look at another one next week. We'll see how we go. See what we can dig out. How about if we stand? Just get ready to worship God and to lift our heart and our voice before him. Let's really, really connect with our Lord today. Anyone here that wants some prayer? Anyone wants to give their life to Jesus? If you've got a need in your life, if you're struggling with something, or maybe there's sickness or something that's holding you back and you don't feel like you're prospering, well, I just invite you to come out and let's cry out to God. That's what the Psalms are all about, just crying out to God from an honest and an open heart and just leaving the results to him. So if anyone wants some prayer today, just come as we sing.